come here and see everyone. It's a great pleasure and it's a privilege to stand here with you and amongst you as I bring God's word. Thank you for the invitation. You'll join with me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to your sight. Amen. When I was maybe as young as some of the kids were here, my parents blessed me with buying my first Lego kit. I now have the privilege of buying just a Duplo kit, and I didn't realize they were so expensive back then. But anyways, I put this together. I still remember it was a Lego Technic box. It was at the time $100, so it was quite an expensive item. We're talking 20 years ago, so $100 was quite a bit of money. And I remember putting this truck. At the time, it seemed this big, but it probably wasn't. And after spending almost, I don't know, about a week and putting this together, it was my pride and joy. I'm sure it was my parents' pride and joy, but not so much to my sister. One day I come back from school to realize that this Lego truck has been destructed. It has been turned into more than 1,000 Lego pieces. I cannot explain to you in words the sadness and agony a 10-year-old would have felt. But I wonder if maybe that was some of the sadness and agony that the disciples were feeling when Jesus was telling them that the temple that you see in front of you will be destructed. In the scripture passage this morning, we read of a destruction that takes on a different level than what we probably would have seen from the destruction level of my sister. And please don't take that lightly, because she is quite disruptive. Jesus' disciples were generally not big city folks. They were fishermen and such from mostly small towns. But now in Mark 13, they are now in Jerusalem. And they predictably do the touristy things of being wowed by the big buildings, by the temple masonry work, by the sense of history that permeates the place. And I can be rest assured, anyone who's been to Bloor and University will look at the ROM building and be filled with awe. If they had had cameras back then, the shutters would have been snapping away wildly. Actually, no, because no one carries cameras. They will probably be click, 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 click. You can imagine the Facebook status updates, the Instagram posts, in Jerusalem, I can't believe the temple's grandeur. LOL, for those of you who don't know, laugh out loud. Peter, James, and John mugging for the camera in front of the temple portico. But if they were hoping that Jesus would click like or share on such postings, they were sorely disappointed. Indeed, in our passage, the disciples come up to Jesus like excited little kids. Their eyes are shining with wonder. Teacher, get a load of this limestone block. Can you imagine the work it took to lift these and one on top of the other? This really is something, isn't it? For his part, though, Jesus turns a rather blank face to the other direction and swiftly deflates their enthusiasm with words, impressive? Maybe. Shame about the impending destruction, though, because someone's going to take those impressive blocks of stone and scatter them all around Jerusalem like a child's Lego. Dumbfounded and deflated, the disciples say not a word initially, and later when they are at some distance from the city and overlooking the countryside from the mount of Olives, a couple of them finally muster the courage to ask the obvious, "Teacher, teacher, that bad and nasty destruction stuff you mentioned about the temple, do you know when this would be? Any dates or timelines that we could know about?" I wonder why the disciples would have asked this question. After all, it wasn't like they were betting men trying to wager bets on the exact day the temple would come down. The disciples, they were simple folks. They probably were just looking for an advance warning of sorts so that they, or maybe their close ones who lived in Jerusalem, would have the time to pack up and get out of Jerusalem. Actually, a good example of that is if you look at your bulletin, on the first page inside, you'll see a little picture of the Temple of Jerusalem. See, the Temple of Jerusalem actually took up about 65 to 70% of the entire city of Jerusalem. Imagine a church the size of 65 to 70% of the city of Toronto. That is the temple that they're talking about. And if this temple comes down, the whole city comes down. Jesus' answer to the disciples' questions is anything but simple. In fact, Jesus' answer is known as Mark's version of the Olivet Discourse, which continues for more than 24 verses, many containing imagery of the apocalypse, a bit bizarre and actually quite scary. And the beauty of guest preaching is that I can lay that responsibility of covering those to you. However, what we can see from the text today is that the disciples are fearing. They're scared of the destruction of the temple. No, of their temple. As Jews, the temple is Jerusalem, is symbolic. The temple in Jerusalem is symbolic to what they believe. And to hear that soon, that this temple will come tumbling down, this instills a fear in them. And the fear of the church being destructed is not actually an ancient fear, not only an ancient fear, it's in fact it's the fear that is resonating across churches and parishes across the world. Especially so here in North America, and especially so in the United Church of Canada. Just last year, a church in the GTA, Aurora United Church, got burned to the ground because of an electronical accident during renovations. $6 million church burning down to the ground because of an accident. A church being destructed. However, there are less pleasant examples of church being destructed. Churches being shut down because they have run out of funds to maintain the building. Some have been lucky where the church building is kept intact while being remodeled for a new purpose, maybe a condominium, maybe shops. At least the building is still there. In some instances, iconic churches, some over 100 years old, are being taken down. Actually, they're being demolished. Great buildings were not one stone is left where all the stones have been thrown out. However, the trouble is not that churches are being destroyed, are being destructed. Jesus' answer of when the temple will come down gives us uncomfort, especially in light of the events that took place in the last few days. Jesus says, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquake in various places. There will be famines. God have mercy on us." As I stand here at the pulpit of Kingsway Lambton United Church, I see a congregation where people are sitting in the pews. A congregation that is represented in all age groups. A congregation that brings unity to this community. I see a building that is very well maintained. I see a church building that actually might outlast the end of time. But having said that, I wonder if that's actually true. It's a challenging question. Will Kingsway Lambton United Church outlast the end of times? Would a day come when, God forbid, an accident takes place
where the church building comes down.
That strikes fear in all of us, because this church has been the church where you have been baptized. A church where you took place, church where your first communion took place, a church where you're confirmed, church where you started a family, church where you have memories, a church where you said goodbye to your loved ones, church where we participated in the Christmas pageant, and I hear that's a big deal here. The list goes on, but to think that one day it might be no more, this strikes a fear in us, in all of us. Did Jesus not know that making such a statement to the disciples will strike fear in the disciples? Of course Jesus did. The temple was important. And given its history and the covenant people of Israel, it stood for a great many vital facts about God and God's people. During children's time, I mentioned about how God said to Moses, "I will be with you." And when Moses led the Israelite, God chose to be with them through the tabernacle, which moved finally into Jerusalem, which became the temple. I mean, that the temple was God's presence among the people of Israel. However, here's Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, who was there in the midst of the disciples. Here was Jesus, the temple incarnate, who would be torn to pieces, destroyed, and thrown down. In the death of Jesus, the temple is destructed. But with the resurrection, we have a new understanding of the temple of the church, which is that it is the body of Christ. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples, no, the promised people of Israel, no, actually anyone who truly believes that they no longer require the temple in Jerusalem for God to be present in their lives. The disciples will soon find out that the presence of God is not only in the temple in Jerusalem, not only in the synagogues, not only in Jerusalem, the holy city, but everywhere. Where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus promises that he will be there. In fact, Jesus speaks to disciples that he will send the Holy Spirit to be among them, to allow them to gather, to allow them to be a church. It was their faith in that Jesus Christ who lived, who died, and who came back to life, who became the ultimate reason for coming together as a community, become the church. There is no need to worry for that day when people would need to flee Jerusalem as the temple comes down, because Jesus Christ, the temple incarnate, have already paid that price. Probably some of you have heard the phrase, "We are the church. We are the church." There was a church that was having a congregational meeting about the budget. Now, we all know that congregation meetings that deals with the budget are always tricky. Well, maybe except at Kingsway Landing. As the treasurer was flipping through the slides talking about the budget for the next fiscal year, the one word that kept creeping up was, can anyone guess? Two words, start with a B. Budget cuts. After all, budget cuts, it's probably the most popular word in all schemes of life. At the end of the treasurer's report, one parishioner commented on the drastic level of budget cuts in all ministries, even though the church was actually not in the red. One of the members of the trustees quickly commented that there was a need to have enough money in the reserve budget for any renovations that needed to be done. The AC heating unit that had to be replaced in a couple of years. The budget would be needed to put in a new sound system, to redo the ceiling, to redo the kitchen, so that we would efficiently host church luncheons. A senior member of the session asked for permission to speak and spoke of the history of the church, going so far as to naming some of the prominent members of the past who helped establish, who helped build this church building. Then he went on to say that we have been given a legacy in this church, and it is our responsibility to take good care of the church, to pass it on to the forthcoming generation.
Most people started to nod, and attention seemed to be lifted. After a silence of a few seconds, the parishioner who made that first comment asked for permission to respond, saying quite simply, "You're right. We do have a great church building that have been passed down to us, and it is our responsibility to take good care of the building. However, the building is not the church. We are the church. The building is here to support us. Without us, there is no church. Without these ministries, there is no church. What good is a church building when there is no Spirit of Christ in it?" Now, I'm not too familiar with the history of Kingsway Lambton other than that what I could grab off the internet, namely the church website. 1936, the cornerstone of this church was laid, and through generous donation from parishioners, this church, this beautiful church, was built. And I'm sure when they laid the groundwork of this church building, they had a legacy they wanted to pass on, a legacy that will last till the end of times. And I'm sure they built it very well. They wanted to pass on the legacy of an aesthetically beautiful church. Some say the ABC of church, aesthetically beautiful church. Check, aesthetically beautiful. A church that is in the heart of the community, that plays a central role in its community. Kingsway Lambton, check. But I wonder if what they hoped most is that their legacy would be a church that celebrates the presence of Jesus Christ and worships together as a community. Big check. The church is first and foremost about the people of Jesus Christ, celebrating the presence of Jesus Christ in their lives and in their community. Look around you. What do you see? I see families sitting together in eager anticipation of their word. What do you see? I see people, both young and old, and everyone in between that have come here to celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ. What do you see? I see a congregation who chooses to go beyond their comfort zones to be open to those who might celebrate God in ways different than their own. What do you see? I see a church for you and me. Actually, no, I see a church that is you and me. Yet still we see a church where numbers are constantly decreasing and the young ones are being far in between. I mean, I am 34 years old and I'm still considered the youngest pastors or preachers out there. And I've been the youngest preachers for the past 10 years. From a church that held services with overflow congregations, we look at our churches today and we may wonder if the church is again being destructed. Yet for every one of those thoughts, we see that young girl in Sunday school who is present every week and ever present in wanting to hear the word and also to sing and also to color and also to do crafts. We see the Holy Spirit moving members of the congregation to come and celebrate Jesus Christ. Listen to this. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I always say Christians are the craziest people that decide to get up for choir even earlier. To come to church, not to sleep in, not to watch football. The Holy Spirit gives moral support to the volunteers who lead the Christmas pageant in showing the world that Christmas is truly about Jesus Christ, not about some red cup. In a world where there seems to be noise and distractions everywhere, God leads this congregation to gather together to be fully committed in prayer for a whole week. Trust me, without God leading us, prayer for a whole week does not work. And even during times of quarrel within the church community, as the writer in Hebrews says, the Holy Spirit leads us to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. My understanding is that today is Intergenerational Sunday. As I was driving here, I quickly realized why Google Maps was telling me to take the gardener, not Bloor, from Young and Bloor, because of the Santa Parade. To see our children here, even on Sunday, where all the kids are lying down in their sleeping bags on Bloor Street, it's great. But this is not our parents' church. It's not our grandparents' church. It's not the minister's church. I'm sorry, Hugh. In fact, it's not even the United Church's church. Because this church is the body of Christ that is made up of people like you and me. I started with a story about my sister who tore down those Lego blocks, and actually, what I'm beginning to realize is that I have another force of destruction in my house called Justin. And he tears everything down. And it's not just Duplo blocks, it's everything. For any scholar, you know that if you ever come to my living room, one side of the living room is filled with books. And that's what 23 years of school will do to you. And he is disruptive. He will, and the entire living room is filled with books. And I'm talking, some of these books are almost 100 years old. But the beauty of Lego blocks, or the books that have come fallen from the shelf, is that they can be put together. See, when Lego blocks do fall apart, all you have to do is click, and they come back together. The beauty of church is this, is that sometimes those blocks might come apart, but those blocks are you and I. And if we choose to come together, that is the church. Church for you and me. When you and I decide to come together, we will be able to be a church with a great building. A church that is central in its community, a church that will carry on the work of Jesus Christ in the lives of this community and those around us. Let us pray. God, we see in the text we've read this morning a story that's quite scary when the temple of Jerusalem will come down. But at the same time, we see that the ultimate destruction had already taken place in Jesus Christ. That we are here to celebrate the life of Jesus, the destruction of Jesus, and the rising again of Jesus. God, allow this congregation, allow us to be the church to celebrate Jesus Christ. We ask of this in Jesus' name.